If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And I was praying for you and praying for this time together and just thinking what I felt the Lord was leading me to speak. And I felt like just reminding us just some simple thoughts, because I know that the future is bright at this church. And I know there's more in your pastor's hearts. And I think it's going to take all of us to have this kind of thinking that's always thinking faith and always thinking, how can we reach more people? And so the title of my message is Faith Building Thinking. And I don't even know if grammatically that's correct. My first language was Spanish, so I always just blame it on ESL. So if it's not grammatically correct, something comes out wrong, I just blame it on ESL. I didn't learn English till I was 6 years old, but we gonna use what we got. So faith building thinking. And if you look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame, a hall of faith. When it comes to believers, people who did big things for God. And you know what I love about when I read this? It's a bunch of normal people like you and me who did great things for God. And you see them over and over saying that by faith, they did amazing things. And by faith, Abraham went to a land that God told him to go to. By faith, Rahab the prostitute, come on, hid the spies. By faith, Joseph led, you know, did what he did and for God's people and made space for the future. By faith, all these people did amazing things. And I love it says like this, and many others by faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received the dead raised to life again. Come on, by faith, all these people did amazing things. And then it says this in verse 12. I set that up because sometimes, you know, you can't take any scripture out of context. You have to see the full context of what God is saying. So he's talking about all these people. He kind of says faith. Faith is hoping for things not yet seen. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is when you start to believe what you see in your heart and when you see that God has told you to do and you start to believe it as if it were so and you start to walk in obedience. And so he gives us all these people that did it. And then in verse chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, come on, it's therefore a reason when it says therefore. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's like, look at all these people that have gone before you and now they're cheering you on. Come on, they're saying you can do it. You can run your race. You can fight your battle. You can raise your family and believe God that he will help you raise them in the right way. You can believe for your marriage. You can believe for healing in your body because you got all these people saying you can do it. Go on. They're like cheering you on like you're at a rugby game, right? Y'all like rugby, soccer, whatever your game is. In America, sometimes people are quiet. I'm like, I know you were acting crazy last night at the football game and you acting like you crazy for football or rugby or whatever it is. Well, how many of you know he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he deserves all praise. I think we ought to thank him right now for how good he is. Come on, shout him like he deserves it. You know, the Bible says shout for joy. It doesn't say shout when you feel joy. Sometimes you got to shout for joy. You got to decide, I'm not going to wait until I feel it, but I'm going to shout because I know the victory is already mine. I'm going to shout because I know he lives on the inside of me. And the Bible says he who's on the inside of me is greater than he's on the outside. I'm preaching better than you're responding this morning. Y'all are like, this dude is fired up. I didn't come play games. Devil ain't playing games. We ain't playing games in church. And if you're new to church, welcome. We're so glad you're here. It's going to be an amazing day. It's very, very dignified around here. But it says this, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So it's very clear that it's not just sin that holds us back. Sometimes people live, I don't know how it is here, but in America, sometimes people want to know how close they can get to sinning without sinning so that they can keep doing what their flesh loves to do. And they're focusing on not sinning and what's right or wrong. But the Bible says here, it's not just a sin that can hold us back, but sometimes it's other weights, other things that are heavy, other things that are holding us down that we may lay aside good things even so that we can have the great things that God wants us to have. We like to say it like this. Sometimes you got to give up what you love for what you love more. You may love cake, But you may need to lay that down if you love health better. Can I get an amen? See, y'all got convicted. Y'all like, man, why you got to be talking about my food? Why you got to be messing with my diet? It's the weekend. It's my cheat day. Y'all be having cheat days every day. I know you be messing around. It's just a cheat day. Didn't when you cheat day yesterday? But it says not just lay aside sin, but lay aside every weight that hinders. See, there's some things in our life that can hinder us that aren't sin, but they're things that you know you need to leave and you won't leave because you love them more than maybe the things that God has for you. And the church got quiet. And he says, and let us, not just a few of us, let us, the church, the bride of Christ, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Come on, there's a race set before you and I. There is a race for each one of us to run. Come on, we ain't out here just taking a walk. We ain't out here just playing games. Come on, we got a race to run. And the Bible says, run it in such a way to win. Don't just run like you just beating the air, just like running like you ain't. You ever watch people run? You're like, they ain't not a runner. They do not have the smoothness that them South Africans have when they run, right? And he goes on to say, the race is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Come on, you can get looking at all the other people around you, looking at how they're running, looking at how they look in. You know, I used to run a lot and I would get in races and before the race, I would start to psych myself out. I would be like, man, look at those shoes. Look at those shorts. That person looks like a runner. I do not look like a runner. Look at, these stretch. Man, I ought to do that stretch. And I start trying to do things that my body can't do. And I'm like, okay, I ain't built like that. I ain't gonna worry about them. And he says, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I love that. He began it and he will finish it. The enemy may tell you it's over, but the Bible says he began it and he will finish. And the Bible says everything that he has began, he will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. So even though the enemy has told you it's over, even though he's told you you've gone too far, come on, it's not over until it's over. It's not over until you're in heaven. You're like, and it's like a new day. And you're like, what's up, Peter? What's up, Moses? Then it's over. Until then, while you're here, it's not over. Can I get an amen? And he says, the author and the finisher of our faith for the joy set before him. Come on, he had the joy set before him, so he was willing to endure. It says he endured the cross. Come on, the cross wasn't just an easy thing, even for the King of Kings. It said he endured it because he gave up what he loved for what he loved more. And he loved the idea of you and me having victory and not always having to lose and not always having to do it in our own strength, but receiving the forgiveness that he paid for us. He said, because despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the problem with running, if you've ever ran, is you got to run. And you got to run consistently. Because if you don't run like for a week, that next week you're going to be like, oh, this feels different. This is hurting. I feel a little slow. Too many cheat days. And to run, you have to train. And to train, you have to eat a different way. There he goes again, talking about food. But you have to be careful what you put in, because that's going to affect what you put out. And I'm here to tell you today, you have to have a faith-building thinking if you're going to run the race that God has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is living and active, that it is powerful, that it has the ability to change our lives, and we receive it today. We thank you that you've called each one of us to run a race, and we pray that we receive what you're speaking today. We thank you that it is powerful to change our lives. God, we pray, have your way, Lord, in this time. We set aside every distraction, everything we're thinking about, every worry, Lord, because you have a word for us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a season I did run marathons. I know what you're thinking. Ain't no way that dude ran marathons, but I did do it. And it started when I think it was after my second child. And when you're a pastor, everybody always wants to go out to eat. And so you go do that enough times, you have kids, you stop working out, you start growing, but not in the faith, you start growing in other ways. And so one day I decided just by impulse to sign up for a marathon, but I had never run more than 6 miles. And then I was like, oh gosh, what have I done? And I told people about it. You know, sometimes you got to tell people about it before you psych yourself out. I was like, I signed up for a marathon. We're like, what? What? Not you. And so I signed up for a marathon, and I was like, I got to learn how to do this because this is different. You got to be running 26.2 miles, and that's long. And I'm not Kenyan or South African or any of these other Ethiopian countries, people that run fast and gracefully. I'm short and stocky, and we're just going to have to figure this out. And so I joined a running club, and the first day I showed up, the coach was like, hey, don't come back here until you can run 2 hours by yourself. And I was like, 2 hours? I mean, that's why I'm here, to get help. Look at me. And he's like, look, just go and just run. It doesn't have to be fast. Run so slow that you're embarrassed if people look at you. But just be out there for time and then come back. What he was trying to get me to do is to build endurance before I come back and run with these people who've been doing it for a while. And so, and he told me, you know, I know you're used to running fast distance, short distance, because I did track and field in high school. He's like, but now you need to think endurance, long term. Don't worry about your pace. So I went training and I came back. When I came back, he put me in a group of people. And this is what he started to tell us. You need to start thinking you're a marathon. You need to start saying, I'm a marathoner. And you need to start imagining the balloons at the finish line. And you need to say, I'm a marathoner. I see the balloons. You need to start thinking a different way. What he was trying to tell us is you need to build a certain level of faith that you can finish this thing. Because if not, you're going to psych yourself out and you'll lose and quit before you ever start. And it's not how you start a race, it's how you finish. And you know, I said 26.2 because those last 0.2 really do count. That's when you question your Christianity. That's when you question everything. Your body starts to shut down and it's all will and mind at that point. And I'm here to tell you that perhaps the biggest weight or obstacle or thing we need to lay down or set aside that may keep us from building faith and running the race that God has for us is thinking that is contrary to what God says about you. See, so many of us can start thinking things that the world says about us, what other people says about us, what circumstances may say about us, instead of what God says about us, and we'll quit. And the enemy doesn't even have to tempt us because he could just psych you out. He could just get you to stop looking to the side and comparing and looking at other people and seeing how they're doing or seeing what you've done wrong or where you don't meet up and you don't even keep running. And you don't fulfill God's destiny for your life. And I just know that if we're going to reach Joburg, if we're going to reach South Africa, if we're going to reach our neighborhoods, if we're going to reach our coworkers, how many of you know we got to run our race? We can't be intimidated. We can't be looking all the way around and looking at what everybody else is doing, but we got to be obedient to what God's calling us to do and run our race. Can I get an amen in the house? And so it's important how we think about something. Our attitude just determines a lot. Our thought life is really where the battlefield is. And, you know, over the past few years, I think people have gotten isolated and COVID has just insecurity and suicide and isolation is on the rise. And I think it's a time where some of us got to break out of some unhealthy patterns and unhealthy rhythms and get back into the rhythms of faith and the rhythms of church and get planted and help see our lives flourish and our lives flourish. You know, having four kids and now teenagers, I realize how important church is because I realize that I can put a lot of things into them and then they come into a faith environment. And around other people that are going for it, and it starts to affect their lives. And they start bringing their friends. My son was telling me the other day how many people he's invited to church and our youth group. And he's like, yeah, I invited him. He invited him, and he invited him, and he invited him. And it's because he was inspired and because of the difference it's made in his life. And I can tell you, I tell my kids things a million times, and it's like they don't hear it. And then Pastor Zach will say something. They're like, oh, Zach said this. Anna said this. I'm like, I've been telling you that. It takes all of us to reach our children. And I believe Psalms 92, where it says, planted in the house of God. Come on, you will flourish. Being planted, it's fixed. It's put in the ground for future purpose. It's not pulling it up and in and out and jumping around. No, planted in the house of God. Come on, the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, the way I think in my heart is how I'm going to be. If I start thinking that God doesn't have good things for me, then I won't even try. If I start thinking that he doesn't love me, that he doesn't care for me, that he doesn't have good things for me, then I won't even come to church, or I'll just come to church and go through the motions and don't feel like I have a part to play in it. But I'm here to tell you, God sent a little Latino guy to remind you that God has a purpose for you, that you got a race to run, that you need to start thinking in such a way that builds your faith in your life. Whatever we focus on, we become. For as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they are. So wherever we put our energy or attention on, those things will develop. Whatever we start thinking about, you know, we need to think about what we're thinking about. So many of us don't even think about what we're thinking about throughout the day. We're just thinking about all these other worries and all these other things. And the Bible says, hey, life has enough worries of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Think about today. Walk in today's grace for you. Think about the mission that God has for you. And you know, one of the things I've realized is if I'm going to walk in the things of God, then I need to hear his word every day. Every day I need to make a fresh start with God, and I need to allow his word to change my heart. And here's what the book of Romans says, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read chapter 12, verse 1. They're going to have verse 2, but I have verse 1. I want to read that first. It says this, therefore, since we have, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, no, I'm reading Hebrews. Shoot. I was just testing to see if y'all were listening in church. Y'all are like, he's reading the same scripture. I was just testing y'all. But it's pretty good. That one's good, too. I went from 12 to 12, two chapter 12s. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is holy and pleasing to God. I love this. This is true worship. What is true worship? I know we got a great worship team here. I know we had some good worship here this morning. That's worship. But true worship is when you offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. When you offer your life and you say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not what I want to be done in the earth, Lord, but your will be done in the earth. Less of me and more of you, God. Offering yourself up to God. That's true worship. And he goes on to say, and if you're going to do that, verse 2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Come on, can you say that? Transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, come on, then. It's a conditional statement. If you do this, then this will happen. If you renew your mind with the word of God, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for your life. I mean, so many people that are like, I don't know what God's will is for my life. What is God's will? Does God have purpose for me? What is God's purpose for me? Let me encourage you. Every morning, wake up and say, God, I surrender to you. Not my will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I surrender to you afresh. I offer myself to you. Then you'll be able to test and approve what his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will is for you. See, there is a good will for your life. Regardless of who's hurt you, what you've been through, I'm a living testimony if he can take the broken and use it and make the weak, use the weak things, come on, to shame even the strong things. And I'm here to tell you that some of you are taking inventory of your life and you're looking at everything that's broken, and God sees only opportunity for him to be glorified. You're seeing it as an excuse why God could never use you. And God sees it as a reason why he could use you, because he's faithful and just. He is a redeemer. I love that scripture gives all these thoughts that he's a redeemer because he redeems people's lives. He's a restorer because he can restore all things. I love that the Bible says that his arm is not too short, that he can reach into every circumstance. He's not limited or inhibited by what stops us. Come on, the Bible says he conquered death. He took the keys of death and hell, and he holds the power. Come on, he can do all things in our lives. Can I get a better amen in the room? Amen. You know, I think how we receive the word determines how the effect that the word will have in our lives. I determined a long time ago, I'm going to be a lead worshiper in church. I know I can't worship. My wife tells me sometimes you're singing too loud. You need to calm down. You're off beat. But I'm like, the Bible says make a joyful noise. So I'm going to make a joyful noise. And the pastor's up there. I'm going to be like, bring it. That's right. Here it is. I receive it. Good. Amen. Let's go. Some of y'all just need to train yourselves. I'll give you some different ones like, that's good. That's right. Preach, Pastor. You just got to throw out some different ones. Next time Pastor Adrian's up here, he's going to be like, well, let's go, people. What's up? It makes a difference. All right, back on track. Y'all distracting me. So we have to offer ourselves. He's so faithful. He's so just to do all these things in our lives, but we have to be able to offer ourselves. We have to believe that he has a good plan for our lives. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, one of my favorite scriptures, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Bad news. Boo. But the good news is, he says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the abundant. Come on, the enemy does come to steal. He is a stealer. He is a killer. He is the father of all lies, but he's a punk. And the Bible says that God has come to give us life, and he came to give us life that's abundant, not just barely, not just always scraping by, always struggling. No, abundant life. Some of y'all need to break off a scarcity mentality. I remember I had to do that in my life. I was like, I'm not always just going to follow the patterns that I've seen in my family. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to learn how to handle money God's way. I'm going to learn to put God's first in my life. I'm going to learn to tithe. I'm going to learn to be generous. I remember when I first started tithing, I was like, I don't even have enough money for myself. But you know what? That's by faith living. That's when you say, you know what? I trust him that when I give 10%, he can make it go 90%, go a lot further than I could ever make 100% go. And the Bible says that when you seek him first, he'll add everything else to you. See, it's not a money thing. It's a trust thing. It's not a matter of will you give him your money. It's a matter of will you trust him. So many people are like, I love you, Lord. Take it all, Lord. You can have it all. I surrender everything, but not the tithe. Don't be messing with my money. I earned that. But the Bible says everything that is good is from heaven above. Everything that he's given you is a tool that you are to leverage and to use as a resource to reach more people. The question is, how much is enough in our lives? See, the world always says, get more, 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 get more. Do they have preppers here in South Africa? Y'all know what I'm talking? People that are always talking about the end times, and they're like got basements full of like food supplies and stuff like that. Maybe there's a lot of preppers in here. Praise God. Hey, I'm coming to your house when it all goes crazy. But you know what? I think we can always live in scarcity, always worried and trying to get more for ourselves. Or we could say, you know what? I choose to live generous because the Bible says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. How many of y'all want larger and larger? Praise God for some of you over here. How many of y'all want smaller and smaller? That's the rest of y'all. No, okay. We all want larger and larger. Come on. We want to be generous so that God does more through our hands. When we're faithful with little, the Bible says we can be faithful with much. But it starts in the little. It starts right now with what you have. Not one day when you get what you think you need. It starts right now with what's in your hand. See, either we believe that he has an abundant life for us, or we believe that the enemy has what he has for us, and that's what we've earned. See, the Bible says that we don't earn God's way. No, it's a free gift of life. It's by faith that it's by faith through his grace. Come on, it's his grace. It's the grace of God. We don't deserve forgiveness. Come on, how many of y'all feel like you deserve? When I came to God, I was like, I don't deserve this. I would come into church and just feel condemned because I was just thinking of everything I had done bad. And I thought, nah, all these people, they got it all together. They don't know me. They don't understand what's going on. And then it was until I understood that God paid the price for me. The Bible says that he died on the cross, that he paid for my sins, and I didn't have to earn it. I only had to receive it, and it was by faith, and I could receive it so that no one could boast, but it's a free gift of God. And I was like, whew, it was a game changer. I was like, I receive it, Lord. If you have it for me, I'll receive it, Lord. I want it all. I was like, God, if I live crazy for the devil, I'm going all out for you. I'll be like David. I'm going to be even more undignified. You know, sometimes you just got to let go. Some of y'all in worship, you just got to go to a new level. You know, I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert. But when it's in worship, I'm going to be like, man, sometimes God's like, is that what you're going to do? You're just going to stand there like that after all you've done? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a little hop. I can't dance. I have no rhythm. My wife tells me all the time, but I'm going to do what I can. Woo! You know, and sometimes I'm like, ooh, I'm out of breath. I'm out of shape. All right, Lord, I'm just going to be right here. Here's what I have wrote down in my notes. A lie believed as a truth will affect you as if it were the truth. A lie believed as if it were truth will affect you, will have the same effect as the truth itself. So it's like you believe lies, you take them in, you start to believe that God doesn't have anything for you, that you can never have restoration in your marriage, that you can never be healed, that your kids can never get on track, and you start to believe what he says rather than what God says. And God has all these promises in his word. And the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, it's the fruit that the truth that sets us free, but it's lies that keep us in bondage. And guess what? That's why I got to get this truth in me every morning. Every morning, because the enemy's there lying. You know, you watch the news. I don't know how it is here, but in America, you watch the news and you think the world's coming to an end. Everything's done. Everything's bad. So I got to listen to the good news, not just the news, right? The news is just trying to say what sells, but God's telling you what really produces fruit in our lives. And so this is how the enemy steals from us. He brings insecurity into our lives. He starts to make us think what we don't have and what others have. And you know, the quickest way to kill insecurity in your life, I've learned this in my life. I remember when somebody told me this and I started to do it and it changed everything. You know, sometimes when you're believing God for something and somebody else gets it before you know how to kill insecurity? It's to celebrate that person. When somebody gets a promotion that you've been believing for, thank God for them. Throw them a party. Write them a card. Take them out to lunch. You kill insecurity. You'll kill the enemy's plan. And you're like, you start to celebrate other people. Then you start to become a secure Christian who's not always looking to other people or circumstances to tell you how good you are, but you start looking to God on how good you are and what he's made you. See, I think there's an epidemic about insecurity in the world. There's a lot of pretense in relations, people trying to be what people want them to be instead of being who God's called you to be. See, that's why we've decided I don't let my kids have social media until they get to a certain age. A Christian psychologist friend of mine told me that really until 16, kids don't even have the potential, the ability in their brains to process everything they're seeing. I think even a lot of adults can't separate truth and reality. You start looking at Instagram, you think, look how good they look. Look at how their house, everything's perfect. You ain't seen their house. Everybody's got that junk room. Everybody's got drama. Everybody's got issues, right? You got issues, I got issues. And if you think you don't have issues, that's your issue. You got pride in your life. So here's some thoughts that you need to know about who God says you are. And they're very simple, just reminders. Come on, I came here today. I came here this weekend just to remind you so that you would leave here different, so that you would wake up tomorrow different, so that you would wake up tomorrow declaring this over your life before you go to work, before you get in traffic and people start cutting you off and making you mad and getting in the flesh and losing perspective. Come on, number one, you're chosen in Christ. You are chosen. He chose you. You didn't choose him. You think you chose him. You think you said yes to him, but he said yes to you before you ever thought of saying yes to him. You thought, oh, I accepted him. Yes, you did, but he chose you. John 15, 16 says that. He says, I chose you, and I chose you to bear fruit that will last. That's my life verse because I grew up thinking that I was never enough. I grew up thinking that I could never meet up. And I remember when I read that scripture, it's like everything just, it's like God filled me up and it was like, okay, I'm done trying to get pleased from, you know, please other people. I'm gonna please the Lord God Almighty. And it was like, he chose me and he chose me to bear fruit. So come on, he didn't choose me just to go to heaven. Some Christians, maybe it's just in America, they're just happy going to heaven, but there's no other evidence in their life that they are going to heaven. They're living like hell on their way to heaven. It's kind of a contrary thing, right? We should be heaven people, people that are populating heaven and plundering hell by the way that we live, the way that we talk, by the way that we give, by the way we serve. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy. That word holy means set apart, special. Come on, you are set apart. You're not ordinary. You're not just like everybody else. It's like all these baby dedications that we did and we just, Pastor Adrian was just talking about their names and how God created them and knew them. It's the same for you. It doesn't matter if your reality up to now has been broken or there's been a lot of hurt. God can redeem. God can make all things new. It says he's made you a new creation. You're like, well, I got a lot in my life. Well, you'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to make a fresh start, to connect with God, to allow him to make you new. Listen to this, to be holy and blameless in his sight. You're not blameless by what you do or what you don't do. You're blameless because of what he did for you on the cross. And some of you come in and you're condemned all the time and thinking, well, how bad you are. I'm here to tell you how good you are because of whose you are, because of what's been done for you. Because the Bible says you're the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody. You're on top and not on bottom. You're an overcomer in Christ. Come on, you can do more all things in Christ Jesus. Y'all should be shouting better than that. Come on, this is the 10:30 service. Y'all are awake. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people, his very own possession. Come on, you're his very own. You're his special. You know what I tell all my kids when I put them to sleep? I tell them they're the apple of my eye. It's like the pupils, the most important part. I want to tell them that because I want them to know that they are that to God. That's what God tells you. You're the apple of his eye. You're special to him. You're very special to him. A lot of people may have done a lot of things to you to make you feel like you're not special. And I'm here to tell you, you're special. Regardless of what unspecial things have happened, you're special because of whose you are, what he's done for you, what he has in store for you. Come on, the living God, the King of Kings is living on the inside of you. The Bible says we're temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside. Don't you think wherever the Holy Spirit lives is special? The Old Testament is a shadow type to show us of what we are now to live. And you think wherever the Holy of Holies was, that was like special. It was like where his presence was. And now he lives inside of us. Come on, he just doesn't live in buildings. The church is not just a building. As amazing as this building is amazing of a church. We are the church. The people are the church. We are his bride. We are the body of Christ. And together, come on, he is the head and we are the body. And I think he's chosen us. We need to know that very clearly. That. And number two, we need to know that we are complete in Christ. Because you're chosen in Christ, you are complete in Christ. Some of us are waiting for something to happen to feel complete. When I get married, I'll be complete. And I'm here to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because you'll get married and then you'll think, when I have kids, I'll be complete. When we buy the house, I'll be complete. When I get my degree, I'll be complete. When I get the promotion, I'll be complete. When I get another raise, I'll be complete. When I get that, I'll be complete. When I get this certification, I'll be complete. When I live in this neighborhood, I'll be complete. When I get there, I will arrive. When I start doing that, when God brings me to there, I'll start giving, I'll start serving, I'll start walking the way he wants me to walk. No, you start doing that now. You start living knowing that you're already complete. No person completes you. Maybe you're single in the room and any single people in the house? Come on, any single people? No? Y'all married. Y'all scared. Y'all like, what's he gonna make me do? I was just gonna tell you to raise your hand, look around. You never know. God may have somebody next to you and you're like, what's up, girl? What's your name? Wanna go get a bride? Wanna go get some hot dogs? People begin connected up in Alpha up here. It could happen right now, right after the service. I met my wife on a mission trip. We were on a mission trip. I was like, girl, can I help you with your bags? She's like, got my bags. I was like, all right, girl. I'll win you. Oh, it's on now, girl. She didn't even know it. I was like, all right, it's a game now. I won her. 21 years, we've been married. And I'm just here to tell you, it's a lie from the enemy that you'll be complete when you get something or arrive at one point in your life. You're complete in Christ right now. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, listen to this, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Some of y'all think you're at a deficit, and he's like, no, I've given it all to you. It's all on the inside of you. When you got Christ, you got the whole shebang. When Christ lives in you, you got everything. When Jesus is on the inside of you, he who's on the inside is greater than who's on the outside. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. Corinthians says we can be pressed, we can be crushed, we can be pressed on by everybody else, but if Christ is on the inside of us, hey, we're going to be all right. We don't lose hope. Can I get an amen? Amen. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body, and you are complete through your union with Christ. Not through your union through boo and her and him. No, through your union with Christ. Y'all like, when I get with her, when I get with him, when I swipe right, no. When you say yes to Jesus, when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, then that's when you're complete. You feel insufficient, you feel incomplete, but that's just because you're listening to the lies. You're carrying some weights you ain't meant to carry. You're called to lay aside some of those weights, some of that stinking thinking, and start having thinking that's building faith in your life, and you wake up tomorrow and you're like, I'm complete in Christ today. Day. I don't have to overcompensate at work and try to show off to the boss so he sees me. I just need to be faithful in the little when no one sees me. And the Bible says that he's faithful. He promotes. He puts people in position. You don't have to jockey for position. You don't have to be thirsty to get a spouse. Y'all know, y'all use that phrase here? Sometimes I'm like, ooh, she thirsty. Ooh, he thirsty. Let me just give you a tip. Whatever you have to use to get him, you have to keep using to keep him. Let that sink in. Let that marinate. I'm like, why you gotta be messing with me in church? Trying to help you. All right, let's keep going. You're complete in Christ. You're chosen in Christ. Here's the last thing. You're called. You are called in Christ Jesus. You're called into relationship. You're called out of darkness and into light. I love scripture says that you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Some of y'all are still operating like you're working for over here, but God's like, nope, you've been transferred. You still in that office and you've been promoted to this office. You still thinking like you're losing, but the Bible says that you're on top now. You still operating like you don't have enough, and the Bible says you're complete in Christ and you're called in Christ and you have a race to run. You're acting like you just taking a walk, and God's like, no, you're in a race, and you're in a race against time. The Bible says life is a vapor. It's a mist. It's just there and gone. It's just quick. You think you got all this time, and you never know. You never know. I can't tell you how many times I've sat at the side of somebody's bed in a hospital, and they wish they just had more time. I don't care how long you live. You always wish you had more time and that you would have done more with that time. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purposes. You've been called according to his purposes. You've been called to run a race. And God sent a little Latino coach to tell you, imagine the balloons. Say you're a finisher. Say you're a runner. Say you're complete in Christ. Say you're chosen in Christ. Say you're called in Christ. Say you're complete in him. Say you have everything on the inside to do what he's called you to do. Say you're the head and not the tail. Come on, you're his beloved. You're the apple of his eye. You're the one who he's called to run the race to reach more people. Come on, the race isn't over. The enemy's told you that you can never do it, but the Bible says he can make all things new. He's the one that still does miracles today. If he raised people from the dead in the Bible, he can raise them again. If he healed people in the Bible, he can heal you today. If he filled people in the Bible, he can fill you today.